Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Good afternoon. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now then, for a very long time, both political parties have demonized each other. They say this party's for this, and the other one says this party's for that. In a lot of cases, when, you know, I'm on the right-hand side, so I look at what the Democrats say about me, and most of the time they're actually projecting onto me. But to a certain degree, in a lot of cases, I'm going to make a bad call here and there. So both sides tend to be wrong from time to time, although I'm not wrong as often as they are. But then we come to the topic of political violence, and there's only so much hyperbole that I'm willing to put up with this. And then we get this from The Guardian, which is a British newspaper that doesn't actually exist here. They may have reporters here, but I can tell you this. They do not embrace a constitutional way of life, right? Because they're Brits. Brits are subjects. They do not look at personal freedoms as something that is God-given. And he's talking about what happened in Idaho, because in Bonneville, at a Republican county or a Republican Party event in Idaho Falls, Idaho, they invited Kyle Rittenhouse. And the kid showed up there, and he signed a AR-15, and they rifled it off. And then they had something called Trigger Time, which was a hosted shooting event that he was the host of. And they point out that this is all happening amidst a spate of mass shootings, many conducted with AR-15s. And, of course, the Republicans, which every Republican, it must be guilty of this, if they're doing this in Idaho Falls, Idaho, well, they obviously support shooting children, right? Then they decide to frame what happened in Kenosha, which the way they frame it is that Rittenhouse was a kid, and he decided to travel to go be in a, you know, a militia with an assault-style rifle. And, you know, there was a Black Lives Matter protest going on there because Jacob Blake, an unarmed black man, had been shot 7 times. And then, you know, Rittenhouse, who had joined the other armed men, acting as a self-described militia and roaming the city, as they say, he sort of got cut out of the herd. And then Joseph Rosenbaum was keying in on him. And he tried to take his gun, and he was trying to attack him and all this other stuff. And so Kyle Rittenhouse shot him. Then Anthony Huber tried to brain him with a skateboard, and so Kyle Rittenhouse shot him. And then Gage Grosskreutz came up on him and was trying to point a gun at his head and shoot him, and so he shot Gage Grosskreutz. Now, he killed Rosenbaum and Huber, and he has been tried for that crime, which actually turned out to be self-defense, as it turns out. And, you know, despite that fact, they decided to frame this as a killing versus a self-defense situation. Kyle Rittenhouse, for his age, was actually quite surgical in his application with his weapon. Rittenhouse was not engaged in anything that could reasonably be called political violence. And those three names they gave, all three of them attacked him in some fashion or another. And Rosenbaum was actually leading a mob that chased him until he was cornered, and then he personally tried to take his gun away from him forcibly after issuing threats, and, you know. And Rittenhouse was acquitted of all charges against him because he acted in self-defense. And referring to what happened to him as political violence is irresponsible. It's a gross misrepresentation of what actually happened. Do you know what does qualify, though? The shooting at a bank in Louisville. The killer in that instance carried out his attack in part to try to help push the gun control narrative, as was clear in his own manifesto. Somehow, when they mentioned Louisville, they managed to completely fail to note the killer's stated motivation, all while calling Rittenhouse's acting in self-defense political violence. Now, here's where this is where the problem comes in. When you're going to tell a story, and you're going to shape the facts in order to push a narrative, besides just pushing all the facts out there, now that's a funny thing to look at. I understand that there are no unbiased news sources out there. I get that completely. And I see this on a regular basis. But I just wish they could figure out how to be a bit sneakier with their bias. It is very, very, very apparent. And it's embarrassing. And it makes me wonder, I mean, with as much stuff as they've got going on in the UK, I would think they would want to try to be talking about all of the outrages happening in the UK. In the UK, they ban knives. In London, they have banned knives. And there's been so many knife attacks in London. I mean, and it's primarily because nobody can fight back. In countries like London, for example, the reason they look at what Kyle Rittenhouse did and say, oh, this is political violence, is because they look at anything that has to do with self-defense as bad. Self-defense is natural. It is a natural state for you to be in. It is not something that, only occurs here and there. It occurs wherever it pops. We have always done it. We're always going to do it. I mean, you know, if we have no weapons, we fight with whatever we can find. Hands, feet, clubs, rocks, whatever. To get out there and to make this stand like, let's segue just for a minute on this. Because in this debate, because this is all to further the gun control, the people that push this have a tendency to either misrepresent what they're putting out there or to list individual instances of these being misused, and then claim that the common denominator in all of these instances is the gun. So the idea here is to paint the gun as the problem. And that's only going to happen in a limited manner. And I've got a prime example of that. I'll start it. I've mistakenly knocked on a stranger's door. I've answered the door for a stranger asking for directions. I've mistakenly driven up the wrong driveway. Strangers turn around in my driveway all the time. I have tried to open the door of a car that looked like mine but wasn't. Even once when that car was occupied, I have had someone mistakenly try to open my car door because he mistook it for his own car. And never did it occur to me that I might shoot for these actions or be shot for these actions, or even worse, that I might shoot someone else. The common denominator is the guns. Gun ownership is a significant predictor of higher gun homicide rates. See, that's where it comes down to. We're saying, well, guns get used. That's like saying shoes. When you buy them, you wear them. You understand that, right? If a gun is getting used, you know, and this is all some of this is about some of these mistake shootings that are happening right now, and they're also trying to drive that as well as one of those things that they want to push out there and try to make out where the gun is once again the common denominator. But it has so many holes in it, it's not even funny. But a 0.9% increase in the homicide rate isn't exactly, you know, an appreciable increase in the risk. So even if the study were accurate, it's not like people who have a firearm are at some grave risk. But guns are the common denominator. They're not. You know what the common denominator is in all of these violent actions that don't even involve guns? People. People are the common denominator. The ones doing the acts. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at aeroprecisionusa.com. Just talking about this whole attack on guns, trying to make them the common denominator. The problem is that most violent crime occurs with no guns. I think it's like 82% of all violent crime occurs with no guns. Like the 15-year-old who was stabbed to death in Philadelphia. Stabbed. Now, that's horrible. Somebody's son got stabbed to death in Philadelphia, or Killadelphia, as they call it. And, well, that doesn't make the cut in these little reports that they're doing out here trying to make you think the guns are the issue. Or the stabbing death of a 33-year-old doctor in Las Vegas, killed by her enraged husband. Or the 32-year-old mother of four in Gainesville, who was also stabbed to death. And then there's the story of a 65-year-old man beaten to death in Huntington Beach, California. We do have issues in society, without a doubt. We have rampant rampaging going on in various places. Nobody has any boundaries anymore. And, you know, but cherry picking what you're going to do to get out there to push this little agenda that you got going on, that's a problem. And the author of this, he's not the first to do it, and he didn't come up with this argument. He's not going to be the last to use it. Guns are not the common denominator in homicides, despite what some might want to pretend. Guns are only a common denominator in gun homicides, which is about as obvious a statement as you can get. The common denominator in all homicide is that people carry them out. And therein lies the problem. If you're going to get out there and you're going to look at the tool, that's a foolish thing to do. Because the tool is not doing it. I have a whole bunch of those tools laying right over there, and they're not moving. They're not being abused. They're not being misused. The gun control crowd hates the phrase, guns don't kill people, people kill people. But actually, that's precisely the truth. Going over to New York, you know, one of the things about the Second Amendment right is being able to go get a gun, and you need a gun dealer to do that. And what good is the right to do something when you have no ability to exercise that right? And while an argument could be made that without gun dealers, we'd all have to learn how to make them ourselves, the truth is that many people don't have any interest or ability to do such a thing. And that's not really how the Second Amendment works. Dealers allow ordinary people to get guns. Yet dealers are the target of more gun control laws than I care to count, many of which impede their ability to do business. And as bad as that is, New York does everyone one better. In order to get a state gun dealer's license, you have to meet specific criteria, including having a brick-and-mortar store. It doesn't matter that you want to, what you want to sell or who you intend to sell to. You have to have a physical store. And now they're going to court. The New York court case that no one knows about right now is Cavalier Knight v. New York City. Knight's cases first came out to attention in December of 2021. Knight is currently challenging New York's requirement that a federally licensed gun seller has to have a brick-and-mortar location in order to get a state-issued firearm dealer's license. He currently holds a FFL-01, but being a resident of New York City, he's unable to conduct any transactions, even his intended limited purpose of sticking to commerce between himself and other FFLs through internet sales and focusing on getting government contracts. And he's got a few rounds with the city already, and his most recent complaint filing was in January of 2023. And when he began his fight against City Hall, he did it in a pre-Bruin world. And at that time, he was also challenging the New York requirement that he have a license to carry in order to get a state FDL. It's not likely that the state or city will be able to defend the restrictions. Never mind. Never mind the requirement that a seller of firearms needs a state license to conduct such business in the first place. There are no historical analogs that mention FFLs or prohibit gun sellers from conducting business from their homes. The technicality that New York uses to do away with the so-called kitchen table dealer is something that's entirely moot in a world where most commerce can be conducted virtually. It's doubtful that in 1791, a gunsmith selling arms they built Lock, Stock, and Barrel would be prohibited from doing so from their home. Many gun makers likely had their shop in the same lot as their house. There are a lot of reasons to take the New York rules to task, because they make it very difficult for someone to start their gun dealing business by operating out of their home. They'd be required to comply with all regulations until they had enough business to justify opening a brick-and-mortar operation. People do this with all kinds of businesses, using their homes as their workplace until they can afford a dedicated place. That's where Google started. That's where Apple started. You know, that's where DeSantis started. Knight has no interest in opening a physical location, but as a gun dealer, he doesn't need one unless he wants to conduct local transfers, something he says he has no interest in doing. And post-Bruin, there's little chance they'll be able to justify the restrictions. And as noted, this probably wasn't unusual in 1791, and there definitely weren't any laws that would preclude what Knight wants to do. And there were really not, you know, there weren't really a lot of internet businesses in the late 18th century, but there was, that's neither here nor there. The law is the law, and the court rulings are what they are. Mr. Knight, who's representing himself, is right in what he wants to do. And, I wish him the very best of luck. It's all of these things are going to come tumbling down. All of these things, the pistol brace thing is going to come tumbling down. The bump stock thing is going to come tumbling down. All of these things are going to come tumbling down in the post-Bruin world. Because all of these ATF rules, they look really bad right now. Not the fact that they had the rules to begin with, but the fact that in the past, all of these things have been legal. And now they've decided they're not legal. What changed? What changed that made all of these things illegal? Why is it that you cannot, if you're not going to do a local transfer, why can't you do business out of your home? He's got the license. We'll see how this goes. That'll be a little interesting tidbit to consider. But we'll see how that goes. It's a very interesting time for gun rights. Very interesting time. No matter what anybody says, I mean, you know, talking about Joe Biden and everything, yeah, he wants to do lots of stuff, but he's not going to pass any laws because he doesn't have Congress. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA News Update. The U.S. and South Korea have reached an agreement regarding the use of nuclear weapons.
We celebrate the ironclad alliance, the shared vision of our future, and the deep friendship that unites the Republic of Korea and the United States.
President Biden, appearing outside the White House with South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, said under the agreement, South Korea will not pursue its own nuclear program. A vote could come as early as today to pass the House Republicans' bill to raise the nation's debt limit. The legislation ties the debt ceiling increase to federal spending cuts. Democrats are unifying against the GOP bill. Cuts are coming to UPS. Yesterday, the shipping company announced a 6% drop in first quarter revenue and that net income fell almost 30%. Now UPS is in the midst of cutting employee hours and reducing its overall workforce. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Adam Kinzinger, you guys remember that cat? He's a very angry little man right now. If you don't remember, this is the former Illinois Congress critter who served on the January 6th House Committee alongside Liz Cheney, supposedly a Republican, where he read from prepared scripts and cried a lot. He was censured by the RNC and forced to leave Congress in disgrace when they basically gerrymandered his district away. And now he has a job at CNN. Maybe he'll replace Don Lemons. Today, he's become a man without a country of sorts. Republicans still despise him, and Democrats could care less what he does since his usefulness is at an end. It was great to have a Republican that was out there bashing Republicans, but now he's not an office holder. And Kinzinger, who's only 45, is struggling for relevancy, trying to find an audience that will listen to his angry rants. His memoir, Renegade, My Life and Faith, the Military and Defending America for Trump's Attack on Democracy, is scheduled to be released October 17th and will likely not exactly fly off of the shelves. In the meantime, the self-described renegade is trying to get back in the public eye by any means possible, and what better way to attract attention than to bash the Second Amendment? So, he spoke at an event in Chicago that was organized by the Joyce Foundation. You know, that's the ones that gave us Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama. A private foundation with more than $1 billion in assets that is decidedly anti-gun. hosted by David Axelrod, Obama's former chief campaign strategist. Tim Heafey, who served as the chief counsel for the January 6th committee, was the other featured speaker. So Kinzinger gets up, leans over the lectern, and says, Second Amendment people should be on the front line of gun control. So the Chicago Tribune loved the idea and wrote in an editorial that those who want to see sensible regulations on gun ownership, such as background checks, age restrictions, and red flag laws, should see Second Amendment people as potential experts and allies. They know guns better than those who merely despise them. What a startling admission that one is. And to be clear, Kinzinger's suggestion that gun owners should help infringe upon the Second Amendment is the single dumbest idea we've heard since December 15, 1791, when the Second Amendment was ratified. Now, yes, we do have far more expertise than the gun ban industry. We can articulate the difference between a semi-auto AR and a select-fire assault rifle. But why would we use this expertise to aid those who want to deprive us of the right to own weapons of our choice? It would be like newspaper editors or television producers asking them to help weaken the First Amendment, or asking lawyers for a quick way to overcome their clients' self-incrimination protections. Like most of what Kinzinger and his gun banning friend suggest, it doesn't make a lot of sense. The only thing that you can surmise about Kinzinger's idea is that it is nothing new. The former Congress critter strongly opposes our Second Amendment rights. In May of 2022, after the massacre in Uvalde, Kinzinger told CNN he would support a federal ban on assault weapons, which, of course, he could not define. He told CNN, look, I've opposed a ban, you know, fairly recently. I think I'm open to a ban now. It's going to depend on what it looks like, because there's a lot of nuances on what constitutes, you know, certain things. And he added that he would also support additional licensing and training requirements for potential AR purchasers. So are you going to ban them, or are you going to make them out there for the people that can pass whatever it is that you come up with for the additional licensing and training requirement? He also told ABC News that raising the minimum age to purchase a gun to 21 was a no-brainer, and he claimed to be a strong defender of the Second Amendment. He's just all over the place. He is the anti-gun grabbag. He also said, one of the things I believe that for some reason is a very rare thing is that a person that appreciates and believes in the Second Amendment, we have to be the ones putting forward reasonable solutions to gun violence. He's right in one respect there. It is rare for someone who supports the Second Amendment to put forward ideas to weaken it. In fact, it's not only rare, but it's actually quite stupid. Yeah. What about what you'd expect from a laughingstock of a former congressman with plenty of time on his hands? Just my thought. These people like Adam Kinzinger are a lot like, you know, Ryan Bussey is one they like. Rob Pincus is trying to become one, or he has tried to become one. I don't know exactly what he's into at the moment, because he's sort of fallen off the map lately. But all these guys that want to get out there and say, we are the ones that have to solve this. We can't solve it. Pro-gun people cannot solve it. All of this stuff that's going on right now is a result of policy. Unless you're pro-gun and in government, we are reactionary. We're out there. If we're walking along, we're not bothering anybody. Hopefully we're carrying a gun. Something happens, we can deal with that for ourselves. That's what that's about. The mere fact that we exist, that the gun carriers in the United States exist, that sort of is a specter that a lot of people are sort of nervous about, especially the criminal types. So for those that are criminal types and they get out there and they decide they're going to do something, for them, the biggest fear they have is the armed citizen. It is not the cops. Nowadays, the cops will do almost anything not to shoot a perpetrator in some cases. They will run backward for 100 yards, gun up saying, stop coming at me, stop coming at me, telling them for 100 yards, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to shoot you. They'll do anything to keep from shooting them because in a lot of cases what happens is they get thrown under the bus for doing their job. We ask law enforcement to go and stop a crime that is unfolding, a crime that is in action, no matter what kind of crime it is. When that criminal starts attacking the cop, that changes the complexion of what the crime looks like. This is no longer pulling up mailboxes and throwing them in the cul-de-sac. This is now an assault on a police officer. And the police officer should be able to respond with the level needed to stop the assault, whatever that is. And if it's somebody, you know, most of these people that are doing these things, a lot of them have a drug issue. And sometimes one shot is not going to stop them. So they have to be shot multiple times. I saw one video where some guy was coming up, and I think this guy was actually a professor or some sort of academic. And he comes walking up on a cop. And he has a stick, and he slams it on the cop, and the cop starts shooting him, and he keeps on coming. He finally went down. But, I mean, handguns are incredibly weak when it comes to stopping power. That doesn't mean I want to be shot with one. But, I mean, as far as getting out there and saying, well, knock down power with a handgun, that's actually sort of that's a misquote, if you want to say it that way. A misquote. So, not actually that kind of thing. So, those kind of, you know, all those things being considered. I sit here and I just marvel at some of this stuff. But these guys that want to be, this is basically, they can't cut it in legitimately on this side. So they're like, if you can't beat him, join him. That's what Kinzinger is. He believes that he knows better than the rest of the Republicans. He runs as a Republican to get elected in whatever district he was in until it went away. But, you know. It's quite interesting to watch the fact that once this happens and all of a sudden they're not in office and that struggle to remain relevant. It's a very interesting thing to watch a person debase themselves to remain relevant. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. When it comes to the courts, I'm all for anything that restricts the government, that constrains the government, you know? Whatever it is, I'm for it. I'm for due process, the presumption of innocence, the confrontation clause, the exclusionary rule, the right to remain silent and not have that silence used against you, strict injunctions against searches and seizures without a warrant, everything, right? And with its most recent set of changes to its criminal procedure law, the state of New York has spectacularly jumped the shark. In essence, they have the leadership there have forgotten why we have courts. The core purpose of the pro-criminal defendant provisions, presumption of innocence, the right to remain silent, the confrontation clause, is to ensure that anybody who's been formally accused of a crime will receive a fair trial. It is not to ensure that, as in many cases as possible, those who have been accused of crimes will walk free. There's a profound difference between a set of rules that ensure that the Constitution presumption of innocence is sustained, irrespective of how many criminal cases are pursued, and a set of rules that are so completely handicaps the government that he finds it tough to bring even slam-dunk prosecutions to conclusion. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to look mainly at New York. But this is a problem you can find in Chicago as well, and in many other cities throughout the country. Wherever a George Soros-backed district attorney has won an election, you can find these man-made problems. And indeed, the masterminds of this foreseeable crime wave are all over the nation. They are in the White House, and that includes Joe Biden, and in California, like Gavin Newsom, and in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. And with their new approach, New York has moved away from a system that protects defendants from government excess and toward a system in which it is growing harder and harder for crimes to be evaluated by juries at all. And worse yet, it has done this while also fighting tooth and nail against the right of law-abiding Americans to keep and bear arms for their defense. Together, these alterations have created the worst of both worlds. Now, New York has achieved the lion's share of this shift via the imposition of a three-step process that, as many of its advocates freely admit, has been explicitly designed to hamstring the government. First, they demanded that prosecutors must declare themselves ready to go to trial within an extremely narrow window of time, 6 months, for defendants who have been accused of multiple offenses, when one of those offenses is a felony. 90 days when a defendant is accused of multiple offenses, including a misdemeanor that carries a sentence of more than 3 months. 60 days when a defendant is accused of multiple offenses, including a misdemeanor that carries a sentence of less than 3 months. 30 days when a defendant is accused of multiple offenses, none of which is a misdemeanor. Second, New York has ensured that there's so much work for the government to do within that extreme narrow window of time that in the vast majority of cases, they're going to fail. So they've tinkered with the rules surrounding discovery, which is the process by which both the prosecution and defense collect and share the information they intend to present within a trial. They have to do that. And the rules governing the disclosure of witness information to the defense. Under their new procedures, which demand the collation of anything in the discovery process that relates to a potential trial, even if it's not relevant, prosecutors are obliged to assemble an enormous amount of discoverable material in every case they wish to prosecute, irrespective of whether that material was requested by the defense or if the case is likely to be pled out. So prosecutors have been given just 20 days to complete this task if the defendant is in custody and 35 days if he is not, which is an often impossible assignment that all but guarantees the prosecutors will focus on only the most egregious cases within their purview. So a lot of times, they don't even start. They don't even charge them because they can't make it happen. Third, New York has mandated when the government inevitably runs out of time, its cases are automatically dismissed and the accused will walk free without a trial. Simultaneously, if you step forward to be a witness in the case, they can assure you of your safety in New York. Prior to New York's most recent changes, information about witnesses was handed over to the defense team only upon the commencement of a trial, and not at all if a guilty plea was entered. Under the new system, information about even grand jury witnesses is divulged before the trial has been prepared, which means everybody knows who they are, and they can be tampered with. The obvious consequence is that they fear for their life, and witnesses in important cases have grown reluctant to involve themselves in these things. So under the guise of ensuring that the rights of defendants are upheld, the state of New York has stacked the deck in such a way as to make the prosecution's job presumptively impossible. And we see the results, the predictable results. Because they're unable to complete their work within the allotted time frame in only 21% of cases at most, hundreds have been dismissed. Per the Manhattan Institute, a think tank based in New York City, the number of dismissed criminal cases in New York City has jumped from 44% in 2019 to 69% in 2021. With misdemeanors, this number is even higher, having risen from 49% in 2019 to 82% in 2021. Many of the state's prosecutors have been demoralized this, and they have simply quit. And does any of this matter? Yes. Between 2019 and 2021 in New York City, at the same time as arrests and trials for both all of these things, were increasing by 102%, murders increased by 51%, robberies by 40%, petty larceny increased by 43%, and misdemeanor assault increased 23%. Once, New York City was the example everybody gave of a once violent metropolis that had managed to turn things around, and now it is back once again back where it was before it was all turned around. That this regression has led to a spike in lawlessness should surprise nobody. The broken windows philosophy of policing is gone. Nowadays, being a defense lawyer in New York means you're making a lot of money. And if they're worried about they didn't have enough resources when compared to prosecutors, they could have increased those resources and brought the two into line, but instead it created a system where the cost of pursuing a prosecution is so high, it's just not going to happen. And this is all working in tandem at the same time with them working to undermine the Second Amendment rights of the citizens of New York. The gun control movement's insistence that Americans do not need to keep and bear arms since they are protected by the police has never made much sense. Cops can't be everywhere at once, and even if they could, the fact that we have chosen to establish police departments has no bearing on the integrity of our inalienable rights. But that argument becomes entirely farcical when the people who are making it are simultaneously working to ensure that the cops in question are impotent, defunded, demoralized. So all of this that we see in New York, that we see everywhere happening, all of this has been actually designed. To what end, I don't understand. I don't know the end to which this is going to be. I wish I was exaggerating some of this stuff, but it is a simple fact. A simple fact. And this is by design. So, lawlessness is flourishing. Self-defense is not allowed. Prosecutions are not allowed. And it's all codified. It's all a matter of law. New York doesn't intend to prosecute those who violate its many firearms laws if it's a criminal. So why do they have them in the first place? The old line tells us that if guns are outlawed, then only outlaws will have guns, and that's proving to be true. Gun-free zones, that's a fantasy. There's no such thing as a gun-free zone. There's only one zone that, you know, in those zones, what's happening is that may as well either be a attack zone or a law-abiding system disarmament zone, but it's not a gun-free zone. Hour number two is inbound. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.